Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. This live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, celebrating 15 years online. AllEars is your one-stop shop for everything Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus for all the restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling special challenges, and much more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a free weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 133,000 other fans who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today.
Yay!
It's Sunday, June 26, 2011, and it's the live show for June 2011 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
Traffic bug you, then step on it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Rock and roller coaster.
Rock and roller coaster.
Yeah! also joins on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Happy summer, Mike.
Oh, it's summertime. That's right. School is out. Time to party. Time to vacation. So let's go.
Absolutely. And also joining us on today's show is Fred Hazelton, the master statistician for touringplans.com. Welcome back to the show, Fred.
Thank you, Matt. I got to order a new business card so I can get the master added to the statistician take because it's starting to catch on.
Excellent. Everything's going just sideplanned.
People are introducing me as the master statistician.
You're not?
It's kind of a made-up term I gave him just to make him sound exciting.
It's an unofficial title, but I'm going with it.
It does sound good.
And our special guest this month is Deb Wills, who is obviously, as we all know, like I have to introduce her, but it's Deb Wills from AllEars.net, the one, the only. Deb, thank you so much for joining us once again on another live show.
Hey, how is everybody doing tonight? I'm coming to you live from the Pacific Northwest this evening, where it's now 5 in the afternoon.
Nice.
Wow.
Wilderness Lodge, you mean?
No, Seattle.
Oh, okay, great.
Actually, Linwood, Washington.
Linwood. Slowly I turn, inch by inch.
Yes.
Let's get to the calls.
And yeah, that's right. Your phone lines are open for you to call in. This is your opportunity to call in with your questions, comments, concerns. You know, what's on your mind? Let's talk Disney World. This is your opportunity for the next 2 hours. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And we're looking forward to taking your calls. And we've got a longtime listener on the line with us. It's Andrew from Long Island. Hey, Andrew.
I got two questions for you.
Yeah, shoot, man.
The first one is, do you think the new Disneyland Fast Pass system where they're giving the resort guests 2 Fast Passes per stay will lead to anything at Disney World because there aren't many more hotels at Disney World? It won't have any effect.
There's, is this new, then am I the only one who didn't know about this?
Relatively new.
Okay, go ahead, Deb.
They started with, I think it started with the recent summer promotion, and you get free fast passes. It's going to be interesting because previously what they had done was once World of Color began, they started not allowing, or they only allowed resort guests through the Grand California entrance into Disney's California Adventure, and you had to show a resort ID. And the FastPass thing is new, a trial, and will be interesting to see how it works out.
Yeah, so this is Disneyland then, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, that's why it's not on my radar. Interesting. Yeah, I'm interested to see what the results of that are as we move forward in the next couple of months and what the reaction is and, you know, the in-park stuff. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, they're doing it for Star Tours and for The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's just one of those perks and opportunities so that resort guests feel like they have a little bit special advantage in terms of getting in. And I also think, but I'm not sure if it was time limited or it's going on all summer, that you can get into Disney California Adventure a half hour early to get your fast pass for Little, or get into Little Mermaid.
Right. Ooh. Interesting. Okay. What's your other question, Andrew?
All right. What, in your opinion, what was the most overrated attraction in Disney World history? In my opinion, it was the Old Alien in Canada, which I was probably one of 10 people who found it extremely boring.
Overrated attraction. Scopa, this sounds like a question for you.
Oh, my God.
What's an attraction you thought that had way too much buzz for it?
Lights, Motors, Action, Speedway.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, that's your pick. I'm trying to think of what attraction I really thought was... I mean, I don't think Mission Space ever lived up to the hype that it got, but I don't think it's necessarily overrated in that regard. Trying to think of like an attraction. I don't know, does anyone have any other attractions that they think can think of off the top of their head that...
Well, there are certainly some attractions that I would say are overhyped. Okay. I mean, you know, they for years they were trying to, you know, push the Stitch's Adventure there. Stitch's Great Escape, and it's just, I mean, it just didn't... I mean, to say that it didn't live up to the hype is probably the understatement of the year. But in terms of overrated, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, I come from the artificial guide world where we rate everything based on, you know, what people's reactions are, so...
Andrew, are you still on the phone?
Yes.
So I need you to qualify. When you say overrated, who's overrating them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Disney? Is it the Disney company? Or is it the fans? Oh, who is overrating these attractions?
The fans.
Okay.
I would say Dumbo. You know, Dumbo's, I don't know how it's a classic, but it is, and it always will be. But it's just Dumbo, you know?
I think you could say wherever the lines are, I guess that would be overrating.
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean,
Because you could say Peter Pan's Flight. You know, it's an overrated.
Yeah.
It's real popular, but it's not. You know, it's not cutting edge. You know, theme park technology.
Interesting. Well, it's a good question. Thank you for calling in, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Andrew's a loyal listener of ours. We appreciate that as always. So let's go to our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Eric from Louisville.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, Matt, good to talk to you guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Wah, wah.
Two quick questions for you.
Yep.
We're looking to go back to Disney World. Unfortunately, it's going to have to be spring break 2012.
Oh. Hello.
Last week. March. Where might you suggest getting any type of discounts as far as places to stay? I've got the AAA and I've got annual pass.
Well, I mean, discounts aren't really out for 2012. I mean, they just have the dates out. I think just came out not too long ago. And you can start booking into it. I mean, you want to stay in Disney World property, I take it?
We prefer to stay at Poly, but at rack rates, man, that's awfully painful.
Yeah, I mean, typically, yeah. Deb, you might know this. I know you pay a lot of attention to this sort of thing. The rate, usually the rates come out, no matter whatever the rates are, and then as we get closer, maybe within somewhere, maybe 3 to 6 months, I'm guessing, the specials come out.
Correct. And once they figure out exactly what the resort occupancy rate is going to be, and if it's not up to what they think it should be for that point in time, then they start hotel discounts. Free dining, those kinds of things. So that's right before Easter. Fred's telling me Easter's April 8th. And it tends to be a really crowded time. It's ultra peak season for the resort rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if anything comes out, I would guess it would be closer to the date than sooner.
Yeah.
If you want the Poly, you could always book it and then apply it and then apply the discount when it comes out.
Right.
Or even cancel it if it doesn't.
True. That's good. For those who rent a car and if they're Dave Ramsey fans, they're better than we deserve. We don't do credit cards. Any input on service to rent from that require credit cards?
That don't require credit cards?
Well, Dollar will let you use a debit card. But it has to be a bank debit card, one that's attached to a Visa or MasterCard. Other than that, I know Alamo also lets you, but it had to be a debit card. It was the only other way.
Yeah, it's got to be a debit card. I don't think anybody takes cash for insurance purposes.
Okay. Yeah, I've had a problem with debit cards. The only luck I've had is booking for one and trying to get easy to match, which fortunately they've done twice.
You could try L&M, too, in the airport, although they don't get high ratings for service. But
does anybody let you prepay? No.
Ladies?
Yeah, they won't let you prepay.
Cool. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Keep doing a great job. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And let's go with Darlene from New York. Hey, Darlene.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, good. Darlene.
Good, good. I am calling in with a question. I am going to Animal Kingdom Lodge, a Savannah view, in like 26 days.
Ooh,
nice.
Yeah.
We thought you were about to say you're going to the Animal Kingdom, and we all went, and then you said Animal Kingdom Lodge. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, good, good choice.
Yeah, so I wanted to hear, because my friend that I'm going with is taking me, doesn't really want to do the parks this time because of the heat.
What?
And so I know I'll do, I think, Magic Kingdom the day I'm going to get there for the extra magic hours. Hopefully I'll be able to get in, you know, because I know it can get crowded, but they're open late that day. But otherwise, I don't know anything about the Animal Kingdom Lodge. What can you guys tell me that I can do there other than just, like, sit on, not that I don't want to sit on my patio that I'll have, which is going to be awesome, but what else can I do there?
Well, you're in luck, Darlene, because Deb Wills is the Animal Lodge.
Yay, I'm so glad you're here, right, Deb. Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks, so it's been a little while. But Animal Kingdom Lodge is a great resort. Go when you check in and get an activity sheet. Are you staying in Jumbo House or Kidani Village?
Jumbo.
Okay. Make sure you get an activity sheet. There are also, if you like wine, GECO does wine tastings at 3 o'clock. I think it's on Wednesdays. If you look at the restaurant news section of All Ears, you'll find exactly when that is. Okay. And also, Sanaa now does a lunch with an animal expert. And that's also, I think, on Wednesdays. I only know it's Wednesday for sure because we just booked for a couple weeks from now. Not sure if there are other days of the week, but that's two things. I know that they also will do a tour of the lodge. There's cultural representatives inside the lodge as well as outside with the animals, so you can sit and chat with them. They used to do storytelling in the evening around one of the fireplaces. And so I'm not sure what they do in the summer in that regard. Also, you can go over to Kidani. There's a shuttle that goes back and forth. A little bit different set of animals there. There's also a library, DVC member lounge, where you can go and have some quiet and read a book and look out on the savannah, because the animals at Kidani are much closer to the resort than they are at Jumbo House.
Really? Okay, that's good to know.
And definitely check out at Jumbo House the night vision goggles that they offer.
Oh, yes.
I think it's like 9 o'clock or so at night, and it's free, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, night vision goggles. Okay.
And check when you're there to see what times the animals on your savannah are in, because there's several hours each day, and the savannahs rotate. The animals go into the animal house, and they get checked over and so on and so forth. So they usually will do that during the day when it's the hottest. But as I said, they'll rotate the savannah. So if you're not on one that has the animals out, you'll be able to go to another one and catch the animals.
Really? Okay, so, but I should be able to see some. I'm an early riser, so I'm normally up like 6 o'clock. So can I have my coffee and sit there and enjoy it and watch some of the animals, you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect.
One of my favorite things to do.
Oh, we're perfect for each other then. There we go. Look at that. Because my girlfriend, she sleeps in, and I'm going to be up and about and wanting to, like, you know, view everything I can about this resort because it's my first time going. So
when are you going?
July 22nd to July 26th, we'll come home.
Okay. Well, Deb Poma stayed there last year. If you go to the All Ears Newsletter archive, she did a two or three series of articles on Animal Kingdom Lodge and things to do. So there's that as well, and that might help you out. And also we'll be reporting after our trip in early July, so I'll try and see what else is happening.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb.
Sure. Have a great time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It was a last-minute surprise, so I've been counting down since, like, only, like, 40 days or 45 days. So it's, like, really quick and coming. So.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Darlene.
Enjoy it.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
See ya.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Lots of calls to get to. Let's keep it all rolling. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. What's up?
I have a couple questions, like, regarding, I'm trying to book either, like, a cruise or another trip down to Disney. We just went this past, I don't know, end of May.
Okay.
Trying to look into, like, next year or looking into a cruise.
Okay.
And I just didn't know, like, how the dining works exactly on the cruise. Like, I don't know how, like, the breakfast and, like, dinner work. Like, breakfast and
lunch. On a Disney ship?
Yeah.
Mike, no, why don't you take this question?
I was in chat. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Explain how the breakfast, lunch, and dinner work on the Disney cruise ship.
You got
or
me.
Do you want me to take this?
Take this because I'm.
Susan, here's how it works on the cruise ship. You have for breakfast. There's two main options, I should say. Okay, one is you can go. Mm-hmm. You can go to the. I think it's the Beach Blanket Cafe, right? That's like the buffet. And that's where you can go to get. It's like a buffet, basically. Your other option is on, I think most days, you can get breakfast in the main dining room, and it's sit down, and they come and serve you. It's kind of similar options in terms of the food options. I prefer the main dining room just because I just like to, I don't feel like going to buffets, but it's personal preference. There's not, I don't think there's, you know, the food in the at the Beach Blanket is any worse than the than the main, you know, than anything else. Lunch is pretty much similar. On most days, you have the option of the main dining room as well. And then dinner, you're going to have rotating restaurants for dinner in the main dining room. Of course, any cruise ship, you can always opt to skip the main dining room. You can go to perhaps one of the specialty restaurants, which can be available as well, for lunch as well, I should mention. Or the, if you're feeling just like, I don't feel like getting dressed. I want to wear shorts and, enjoy your night by yourself. The buffet is open as well. And of course, there's restaurants throughout the ship that are available. In addition, that offer a little, like there's the hot dog and the pizza, and there's different options throughout the whole. There's little restaurants that are available to you as well throughout the day.
And now, with the breakfast and lunch, is that included in the price, or is that out of pocket too?
All the meals in the breakfast and lunch are included. The main food, that food was included. It's not the case. The food in the main dining room and in the buffet and a lot of the restaurants are included. There are specialty restaurants like Remy, perhaps you've heard. I'm not sure which ship you're considering. Yep. That's on the Disney Dream. But there's specialty restaurants that cost extra. But those are optional. There will always be an option for you for meals that is complimentary.
That's included with the price, right?
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And now we're jumping back on land. When it comes to the water park option, I'm trying to look up for a either a 2 week or some kind of trip, 14 days, and what's trying to do a water park. I don't know what the water park classifies as, a day or what is it?
No, it's actually.
Do I have to add the more water park and fun option, or can I just use a day ticket to go to the water park?
You can't use the day ticket. You have two options. One is you just buy a regular day pass to the water park. So that'll give you a one day, one water park, right? Your other option is you get the water park and more option, which gives you access. It's a separate from your day passes, if you can think of it that way. And that allows you access to either the water parks, Disney Quest. Is there anything else that's available? It used to be Pleasure Island, but that's not included anymore.
Right. There's a round of golf.
Yeah, a round of golf, right. Yeah, those are options for you, and those, they give you a little more. And it's only, I guess the water park and more option is more useful if you're looking to do more than one day of one of those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even
if you're doing, if you're planning on just doing one day at the water park, it's almost always better to just, pay cash at the, just get a one-day ticket for the water parks.
One-day ticket.
Yeah.
because we're going there for 14 and or like somewhere around there.
Wow.
And I thought about doing just like adding 2 days of water parks instead of doing adding the water park to more option, because we're probably not even going to bother doing Disney Quest.
Right. Yeah.
But alone.
Just so. Do that.
And now I've heard that, like, I don't know, this is best like trivia, I guess, really, that Pop Century Phase 1 and Phase 2, and now Phase 2 is out of animation. Any, is that true, or?
Pop
Century was supposed to be like two phases, part one, and then the other stage is like the 1910s to the 50s or something.
That was the case, but Scopa, do you want to give her a quick update?
Well, the thing is, Susan, that phase of Pop Century is supposed to be a number of suites that they will be opening up. I'm not sure when to counter the offering of suites that are outside Disney property. I don't know when that is scheduled to open.
2012, I know that.
2012, well, yeah, late 2012, Matt.
Yeah, they're doing like phased openings, as you might imagine.
So that will be called the Animation Suites, and that will offer suites for large families. I don't want to guess how much it'll be per night. I mean, I have an idea in my head, but I think that it might be something that will be quite an option for a lot of people rather than book two rooms. There will be a connection between the Animation Suites and the Classic Years. Is it called the Classic Years? I forgot. and that'll be Generation Gap Bridge that will cross over over Hourglass Lake, whatever it's called. All these names, yeah. Stuff to remember all of them. But Susan, will be. I get this feeling that those are going to be quite popular. And once they are offered to the public, they're going to be scooped up real fast. And what will be interesting will be if, in fact, they are scooped up real fast and they're very hard to book, what Disney will do next when they recognize how popular those suites will be. What other areas will they?
And the surprise that they put it as a value.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's it. I don't think there's any room where the All Stars is to do that. But I think that Pop Century's offering of the suites is going to make for a very interesting couple of years to see what happens as a result of what I think is going to be a real popular option for a lot of families.
So you don't think so? Out of Animation isn't Phase 2 of the Pop Century?
Yes. Originally, Pop Century was supposed to have what they were calling the Golden Years, which was going to be from 1900 to 1950, I believe. But they decided that there was a need, and they were trying to meet the need of their customers. So the decision was made to take that phase and change it so that they could offer Animation Suites. So. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Cool.
And then, like, is there any, like, really cheap, moderate, like, close to value, but not, like, busting the budget?
I mean, moderate resorts are going to run you, if value resorts run you around $100 a night, I mean, it depends on the season, obviously, but they rarely go above $100. You're looking at moderates costing somewhere between $100 and $200, usually, like, around $150 to $200 is probably the realistic ballpark of them.
So, just kind of think about sending, I don't know, my 18-year-old son and, I don't know, three friends, like those three ways, sitting him down, and I just was like trying to look what would be cost efficient for them.
Right. I mean, it depends obviously on your budget more than anything. I mean, the moderates are nicer than the values, typically, most people would agree. But there's benefits to all. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't have a problem sending them to the values. It's just a matter of, you know, if you want to bump up for the moderates, really.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if there was any like moderate that's relatively close to the moderate, or like price wise, or.
I mean, the prices are fairly standard.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to see too much discrepancy between one moderate to another one. It's just a matter of, like, you know, what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Susan. 407-278-5939. And another longtime caller on the line. We've got Keith from Long Island. Hey, Keith.
Keith.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Keith. Right.
Two quick questions. One directed to all of you, and then one for Deb, just directly for Deb. My question is, my wife and I are coming down on the 27th of November for 10 Glorious Nights. We are staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge in a concierge-level room.
Uh-huh.
My general question to everyone is concierge worth it? Now, this won't be our first deluxe resort. We've stayed at the Wilderness Lodge. We've also stayed at the Grand Floridian with a Magic Kingdom view, which was absolutely spectacular. But taking everything into consideration, is concierge worth it, or should we go down to a regular Savannah View room, or should we even consider another resort?
Well, what are you looking for from staying concierge?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I never thought about that, to be honest with you. I could tell you, when my wife and I stayed at the Grand Floridian back in 2009, and we had the Magic Kingdom view room, I mean, it was the wow factor. We saw wishes from our balcony every night, and the water pageant go by every night, and it was absolutely breathtaking. Do I expect to see something like that on a daily basis from the Animal Kingdom Lodge? No, absolutely not. I know it's a completely different experience.
Are you staying DVC concierge or regular Animal Kingdom Lodge concierge?
Regular Animal Kingdom Lodge. We're not DVC members.
Okay. My understanding is that the sixth floor where the lounge is and the fifth floor are now all DVC.
Okay.
And any DVC concierge is up there, that regular cash rooms are no longer available in concierge up on the sixth floor.
Okay.
That the concierge rooms that are now available to regular guests paying cash are a little bit lower down. So you'll have a little bit further walk to get to the lounge. That's one of the things I've been hearing lately. People might be at the opposite end of the resort. The concierge lounge at Animal Kingdom Lodge has a great assortment of food offerings in the morning and in the evening. Probably one of the most unique and different and tasty, as far as I'm concerned. It's not food that you wouldn't like or wouldn't eat, but just different offerings than they have at the other resorts. There is no view of the Savannah from the concierge lounge. That's probably the one thing that if they did it over again, I would say, please give us Animal Kingdom views, Animal Savannah views from there. The concierge service, I mean, you're also paying for itinerary planning. That would be if you need help with any of your reservations. They do offer concierge guests get to have opportunity to do the Wainama Safari. Oh, I'm sorry. Wainama Safari, which is offered certain evenings, and it is just a small group of folks who are on a Jeep and go out actually into the Animal Kingdom Lodge savannas with an animal guide, and you get a tour, which is really awesome. They do it right around dinner time for the animals, so they're usually out and about, and then you have a group dinner together in Jeeco, which is a very unique experience. Like I said, it's really, what are you looking for? You'll have a little bit larger rooms if you stay Animal Kingdom Lodge concierge.
Gotcha.
It just depends what services you want.
Okay. And I was also under the understanding that if we stay Animal Kingdom Lodge concierge, that we're also eligible to book the Sunrise Safari. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's exclusively available to concierge level guests?
I'm not sure, like, right now what the deal is with that. I know over the last several months and maybe the last couple of years, if they did not fill with concierge guests, then they would open it to anyone staying at the hotel.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then I guess the only other question I have directly for you, Deb, is I've been checking your site almost daily. Any information when the Candlelight Processional dinner packages are going to be going on sale?
Don't have any specific date. They usually come out sometime in July or August. They did announce the narrators in the last week or two,
okay.
Which is pretty exciting, and we have that on the site.
Okay.
And as soon as we hear when the packages are announced, we'll, of course, let folks know. But it's usually a little bit later in the summer.
Okay. Okay, great. All right. I think that's all the questions I had. Thanks for all the information.
Keith.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Thank you.
407-278-5939. Hey, don't forget to join us in our chat room. It's live.wwtoday.com. It's It's free, fun, and I think it makes the live show a lot more interesting. So come join us. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, how you doing? This is Fernando. I'm calling you from Tampa, but I'm originally from Miami. How you doing?
Hey, Fernando.
Oh, man, this is amazing. First time caller. I've listened to you guys for about a couple months now. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Sweet.
So I had a couple questions. One of them being that I've been hearing some rumors about Brazil coming into Epcot. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Yeah, that'll be right after the monorail expansion goes to Tampa and then to Dallas.
And after the Australian pavilion.
And it also need the monorail?
It's and, Spain.
After the fifth park, which is the Disney Villain Park.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that wow, really? We're totally killing Fernando's buzz here. He thought he had a scoop and we're just trying to get down.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great, though? Oh, yeah, Brazilian restaurants, Brazilian culture. It's such a rich culture. And, of course, there's so many Brazilians that come to Disney World during their vacations.
Yeah, I've been hearing it from this guy who tweets about stuff Disney-related and that he found some kind of a story from, some kind of a Swedish newspaper that had printed something about it and how Disney meeting us with the Brazilian government.
There's a lot of rumors there, Fernando, that you can qualify, and this is one of them, that we've heard for many years now, and until we hear from Disney, you just have to disregard them.
Right. Okay.
We just heard them. We've heard them 1,000 times. That's why it's we've heard them from newspapers, and I remember the Australia one, the Spain one got big news in the local newspapers over there, and as you can tell, nothing's happened since then. So.
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's very possible that it's something that's on, the drawing board somewhere.
Right.
So, but it's just there's just such a long distance to go before something actually, shovel actually breaks ground. So I think it's one of those things that sounds like a great idea and they'd love to do, but it just hasn't got legs yet.
Yep. Right. And then I was also wondering, what do you guys think about if Disney were to do another park, what do you think it would be? Do you think it would be something more towards like more roller coaster intense, since that's what people tell me. Oh, I don't want to go to Disney because they don't have roller coasters or as many roller coasters.
Well,
do you think that Disney would ever go through that much trouble to make a park with more intense thrill rides in that park?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I think I've heard that argument, but if you look at the numbers for theme parks in the world, Disney dominates every other theme park. Really, up until Harry Potter was opened in Universal, it wasn't even close. And Harry Potter's doing gangbuster, but that's not a thrill ride in that it's not a huge roller coaster. Universal's opened, Rip Ride Rocket, The Mummy, and those haven't done anything to really bump up any kind of huge attendance number. Harry Potter's done huge numbers, so kudos to them for that. But if that was the case, then Six Flags would be doing amazing numbers, and Disney would be envious of that. So I think given the way that Americans are going to theme parks and the numbers that they're seeing, I think Disney's happy with the way with what they've got. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that they're pretty happy considering everything that's been going on with the economy. So I think you're right.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of two questions, right? What would you like to see? I think we all have kind of our image of what we'd love to see if they were going to do a fifth park. But then there's, if you go by the history, Disney, Disney would only do something like that to compete with a direct competitor who's kicking their butt.
Right.
So, if this Harry Potter land really becomes an economic battleground with the Disney parks, then I would suspect that the next kind of step that Disney would take would be to some heavily themed, movie enterprise park or something that had a specific purpose like that to compete with Harry Potter.
Yeah. Andre.
Yeah, I totally.
Oh, sorry, Deb. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say I totally agree. And Disney is very family-oriented, and that goes back to the roots of why Walt started the theme park. He wanted someplace families could go and everybody could enjoy. And so I think if there was ever a fifth gate, it would be a balance, just like there is in the other parks.
Scuba?
Awesome.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is that story. Disney is known to be the storyteller. Everybody else is head and shoulders below what Disney does. And as long as they can continue to be the lead in storytelling within their theme parks, they're not going to have to worry about anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys, for letting me get through and keep up the good work with the podcast. I enjoy it.
Good
Thank
questions,
you. Please
man.
Call back sometime.
Yeah,
thanks for calling.
Those are good questions. And I got Fernando stuck in my head, the ABBA song. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, Fernando.
There was something in
let's,
the
let's take our next call. It's from Chris from Ohio. Hey, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I have a few questions for you about the dreaded time of year. We're going the week between Christmas and New Year's. And we've been there before, so we know what we're getting into. But this time we're taking some family with us and want to try and make it a good trip for them.
Cool.
We've never been there on New Year's Eve before, though. We've always left prior to New Year's Eve. So I think we're going to take Matt's advice and go to the studios for New Year's Eve.
Nice.
But I'm wondering if we're doing that, where would you suggest eating for dinner?
Oh, man. I mean, I love Mama Melrose, 50s Primetime Cafe. Those are two good options. Hollywood Brown Derby. I know Deb's a big fan of that restaurant. Yeah. I think they're good choices.
And what time would you suggest? Because we don't want to be in the parks any much earlier that evening than we have to, and enjoy a nice dinner and then hopefully, you know, see all the festivities. What time would you suggest would be good for a dinner reservation?
I mean, honestly, anytime before 8 o'clock, really.
Okay.
I mean, the park's obviously open till midnight with the fireworks and everything. The, what I like is, you know, get your dinner, you know, maybe whatever, 5, 6 o'clock, even 7 o'clock. The thing is, you know, once you get to 8 o'clock, people start to kind of congregate a little bit, and you don't want to be stuck in dinner and then like get a, you know, a bad spot necessarily for the parade, but for the fireworks, excuse me. But I would say, you know, just have what I would consider a normal dinner time. I know some people do have dinner like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I don't understand that, but you know, so basically before 8 o'clock, I think you're good.
Okay.
Chris. I just wanted to ask you one other question. Were you planning on doing Fantasmic that night, or were you just going to go and just do the fireworks?
I'm hoping that we can do Fantasmic a different night than that, but I don't know. Will they show it 3 times that night, probably, on New Year's Eve?
They've done
likely.
They've done it 3 times. I think last year they did it 2 times. And
it was twice last year. I was there. I took my kids there. We did it as like our first day of arriving.
Right.
And it was it wasn't that bad, actually. We got there about 60 minutes before the show and got, you know, prime seats for Fantasmic. So, other than the piles of incredibly loud noisemakers, it was like a normal show.
Okay, that's great. I also understand they do a trial run of the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom the night before. Is that correct for New Year's Eve?
Like the 30th, you mean?
Yeah.
The 30th, yeah. I don't think it's a trial run. I think it's a full-blown show. I mean, I guess you'd call it a wet run or whatever.
What
time, it's a full-blown show the night before.
What time does that happen? That's not like the regular Wishes thing. That's something different, right?
I believe it takes the place. If it's like 4th of July, it'll take the place of whatever fireworks show was going to happen that night at whatever time. So if the park is open till 10 or 11 and fireworks are the last thing in the park, then that's what time they'll be.
Okay. Well, I would rather stay away from going into the park for that, but we're trying to look at maybe getting a reservation at Ohana that evening and trying to take it in from the beach at the Polynesian. So I'm just trying to gauge what time to make that dinner reservation.
Well, let me throw another suggestion to you. Last 4th of July, we actually ate there on the 3rd and went back on the 4th. We ate at Narcoosie's, which is at the Grand Floridian. It's right on the water, and it juts out a little bit further. A great, great view of the Magic Kingdom fireworks, and they also have a walkway on the other side, outside the restaurant, where you can go watch the fireworks, too.
Okay, great. That sounds great. Well, I thank you very much for your suggestions tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a
good
great
luck.
Time.
407-278-5939 is our number, and let's take our next call. I believe it's coming from Connecticut.
Another suggestion.
Yes, it is.
Hello, Connecticut.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Mark from Connecticut.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Outstanding.
I just had a question. We are DVC members, and we typically spend about a week in Disney World, but this August, we're spending 4 days there, and we're actually heading down because my son is competing in a karate tournament. It's going to be held at the Contemporary Resort. So due to his schedule and different times competing, we don't really want to use up full days of our park passes. So we're just kind of wondering what sorts of things might be where we can fill in a few hours. We were thinking maybe Disney Quest and maybe heading over to a water park, but just was wondering what your thoughts were. I know it's a extremely hot time of year, so I was just curious what you guys would suggest.
Well, let me take a shot at this, Matt. Mark, you got to keep in mind that the time of year and the crowds, so you got to figure out where the crowds would least be. On a very nice sunny day during the summer, the best place to go is Disney Quest. Disney Quest is not what it used to be, but if you haven't been there in a while or if you've never been, it's worthwhile to go down, maybe, you know, spend a few hours at Downtown Disney. The other thing is that a lot of people will take advantage of this, but Fantasia Gardens for some miniature golf, that's another good place to go. You don't have to go into the parks. If you happen to have an annual pass, you can get as much as 50% off. Those are two places that are worthwhile considering. The other thing is that you may want to just take a walk over to Fort Wilderness and check that around, you know, check that, whatever. The thing is that take advantage of Disney Quest on a very sunny day. When it's raining, that place gets really busy. So that's just a couple of ideas.
Okay. All right, that's great. Yeah, those are some of the things we were thinking. We're also thinking about if we were to do something off-site, possibly something like Gatorland, where I understand it's more of like a half-day type of attraction.
If that. Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate your feedback, guys. Thanks a lot.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
407-278-5939. Lots of calls. Don't worry, plenty of time to get to them all. And let's keep things rolling with our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Larry from Newark, Delaware.
Larry.
Hey, was listening to this week's listener question show, and I think I might just have one of the possible answers on why Horizon is missed as much as it is and what made it so important or special that you try to always bring it back.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, I think what it is Horizons in two ways was the glue that bound both Future World and, in fact, Epcot to Magic Kingdom. By that, I mean two things. First, when it comes to Magic Kingdom and Epcot, it was the Carousel of Progress expansion, more or less. It took things from where Carousel left off and brought it in, so there was a connection between the two parks. But at the same time, for Epcot itself, all of the Future World pavilions really focused on one issue at a time, and often it was just looking at the present and maybe a light discussion of what might be in the future. Horizons pulled them all together, had all of the pavilions represented in some form or another, and it was all looking to the future, maybe from the past, but it was still looking forward.
Interesting. I like that take on it. Thank you for sharing, Larry.
My pleasure.
407-278-5939. Interesting theory from Larry. I like it. We were, of course, talking last week about someone called in and wanted to know why, or emailed in, I should say, and emailed why Horizons is so fondly remembered and loved even after all these years of it being gone. And I like that theory. It's an interesting one. I haven't heard that one before. Let's take our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with? Oh, hung up. You just missed out.
Oh, Janine.
Where are my Canadian callers? We got to have a couple Canadian callers.
Where are my Canadians at? Let's
call in, eh?
All the Canadians in the house.
Here is our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Joe from Maple Grove, Minnesota.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, how are you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Well, it's close to Canada.
We're getting the right direction.
We're getting closer.
We're happy it's above freezing any time here, so it's been excellent. All right, guys, we're starting to get serious about planning our trip in 2012, and we're going with my lovely mother-in-law. And so we're looking at a place that can accommodate five people. And one of the places that we're looking at is the Wilderness Cabin. And I kind of wanted to get your guys' impressions of that. If you can recommend a particular cabin loop that is best to stay at for transportation reasons or close to other amenities, and then generally what are some of the other, we've got a lot of this stuff out there, but are there any hidden treasure things to kind of do out there?
You know, I've been over there. I know that Newell, you and I have been there because, you know, Becky Menken from MEI Mouse Fan Travel has stayed in there before.
Uh-huh.
The cabins are interesting. They're not, I mean, they're cabins in name only. They're really more like glorified double wides.
Trailers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're nice. Obviously, it sure does beat camping in a tent. I'll say that.
Yep.
Lots of space. You've got, you know, up to, I think they can accommodate, what, 6-8 people in there. There's two bunk beds, a queen size bed, and another bed.
Murphy bed, yeah.
Murphy bed, right.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's nice from there. I mean, from the aspect of Fort Wilderness, I mean, it's, you know, obviously close to the Magic Kingdom, and the on-site transportation is pretty good. I like it. I think it's pretty consistent, quick. I don't have any issues with that. I like the on-site dining. I mean, Trails End. Oh, I could go for Trails End right now. you know, you have Hoop-de-doo.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! You've got, you know, it has its benefits. I think there are other issues. I mean, Fred, maybe you can talk a little bit about more your thoughts on Fort Wilderness. I guess the only my major downside to it is just that it's distance from a lot of things.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes with all of the advantages and disadvantages of Fort Wilderness. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, what's to do there, it's by far, I would say, has more activities than any other Disney resort. I mean, it's its own excursion day. I mean, you could go and do all the things at Fort Wilderness and not get them all done in one day. The cabins, in terms of loops, they're all pretty concentrated on the left side of the resort. And we don't have, the unofficial guide doesn't specify any particular loops that are better for the cabins. They all have they're all around sort of the one central pool in that area, and it's certainly as decent as the other pools in the resort. Some of them are going to have a little bit more privacy than others, depending on sort of the positioning of the trees and whatnot. So something sort of to think about. A good thing to do is to go to Deb's site and just print out a full color map and take a look at the loops themselves and see if you depending on the proximity to things that you might need, one would be best for you.
You want to ask for a cabin at the front of the loop versus the back, as far as like getting to a bus quicker or things like that?
I guess it depends if you want, how close you want to be to transportation, and or how remote you want to be. Some people like being like the effect of being in the woods and not obviously if you're closer to the main road, which is the front of the loop, then you're going to be hearing a lot more. There's not that much traffic, but you'll hear buses. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps
yeah.
At the back of the loop, you're hearing less traffic, less noise. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a subjective thing, but I mean, it's something to keep in mind.
Well, that's bad if you're in a tent, but when you're in the cabin, I mean, it's like you're in a hotel room, so
right.
It's much less of an issue.
Okay. Does anybody have any experience ordering park tickets from undercover tourists? I mean, I can see the unofficial guide recommends them, and Now Savers does as well. Has anybody done it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done it a few times.
Nothing to worry about there? My wife is a little hesitant about it, and from what I've read, it seems above board.
Oh, it's all above board. We've never had any issues. I can't think of a single complaint. If you're talking about, I know that if she's worried about sort of the validity of the tickets and that kind of thing,
yeah.
I feel comfortable vouching for the fact that these are real Disney tickets and there shouldn't be any problem. If there is a problem, and I've had some issues with shipping and that and picking up the tickets and that kinds of things, and they've been very, very good at, you know, helping me solve those issues. So, no, I would feel totally comfortable using their services. I've done it myself many times.
Okay. Great. Well, if I can make one more comment, I wanted to really compliment Mike Scopa on the article the piece that he wrote in the 40 Decades of Magic book. I thought that the piece on the Carousel of Progress was really touching, and I know we've all heard a lot of the basic Disney stories over and over in books, and that was one I'd never heard before, and I just thought it was really great, and so I wanted to commend him for that.
Thanks, Joe. I think that the the purpose of that article was to illustrate to everyone how there is a very, very strong commitment by the cast members to make the guest experience very special, and that was one of those instances where a lot of people, a lot of cast members, from management to the people who answer the phones, work together to make for a very special occasion. So I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
407-278-5939 is our number. And Fred, you got your wish. Rhonda from Canada is on the line.
Yes! I knew there'd be something there. Hey, Rhonda, how's it going?
And my wife yelled, "Talk to Deb and find out about Sun Cruise on the Fantasy." It's supposed to happen, I think, because we're thinking of going.
Awesome. The Fantasy, Disney's fourth cruise ship and the sister ship to the Disney Dream, is setting sail on its maiden voyage March 31st out of Port Canaveral. It is going to be a seven-night Western Caribbean cruise. All Ears is hosting a group cruise near the end of May, and I don't have the date in front of me, sorry, because I'm not in my office. I think it's May 21st or 22nd, and we're going to be on an Eastern Caribbean cruise, which is a favorite itinerary of mine. We will have 3 sea days, and the All Ears group will be able to attend special activities. We don't have those things planned yet, but I can tell you in the past, we've done coffee meets. Sometimes we will have a lunch meet on a sea day. We do our best to try and make magic happen for all of our cruise guests. We usually have a farewell party. One of the things we've been doing recently, and we did on our Alaska group cruise, is we let you know the key folks who are on the ship, what excursions we're going to do. So if anyone wants to do those excursions with us, we will welcome that. And that's just a little bit. I don't want to tell you too much. Like I said, we don't have the specifics yet, but we're very excited. I've not hosted a I just hosted 7 nights in Alaska. See, this is what the time zone change has done to me. I'm in Seattle instead of on the East Coast. But we're looking forward to a good group. We have about 60-some cabins reserved right now. We'll go a bit more than that, but we're not going to go crazy with a huge amount of people. And we usually have evening receptions in one of the lounges so that people can come by before dinner. It's going to be great, and it's a brand new ship, so we have all that excitement. Maybe we'll even have a detective agency contest. I don't know. There's lots of fun we can plan. So one of the nice things about group cruises, we also get to sit together in the dining room if you want to be part of the group at dinner, both early and late seatings, is that there are people you'll recognize on the ship. And if you want to partake in activities, you can. And if you want to go off on your own, you can. It's very informal and very relaxed. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. Now, are they all, what type of cabins? Sorry to digress, but what type of cabins? Are they all sort of balconies, or are they different variety?
There's various categories of cabins, and it will be very similar to the Disney Dream, where there will be inside cabins that have the special porthole that comes alive, which has cameras right outside of the ship so you can see what's happening. I did stay in a magic porthole room on the Disney Dream. It was kind of fun. Those are small cabins, but you do get a view of the world, and every now and then some Disney magic appears across the screen. You might see Pooh sail on by with some balloons or a pirate ship sail up. It's kind of fun. You can get an outside cabin that's not a balcony, and actually those have been less expensive because people want those inside cabins with the special portholes, so the outside cabins have been less expensive recently on the Dream, and I'm going to think on the Fantasy too, unless something changes. Those are really nice. You get a nice big porthole unless you're down on deck 2, and you get a good view of the world, but there's lots of open spaces on the Fantasy. You can also get, of course, balconies, and then there's concierge suites.
Sweet. All right. That's it. That's all I want to do. I think I've satisfied my wife for once.
Okay. Well, check. MouseFan Travel is doing the travel arrangements for us, and they'll have the latest in pricing and cabin categories. And since it is going to be just like the Dream with a few exceptions, we have an extensive amount of information and photos and menus on the Disney Dream on allears.com. And maybe I'll get to meet you in a few months.
Hopefully.
Cool.
And, happy Canada Day upcoming for those Canadians.
Yay. Yes.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks. Let's take our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Jill.
Hey, Jill, where are you calling from?
Oh, from Buffalo, New York.
Woo. Buffalo, nice. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I have a couple questions. I'm going to be down in Walt Disney World from September 30th to like October 6th, but I know there's a few things going on that weekend. Isn't one of the marathons going on, the nighttime one? I'm not in it, but. And I heard some things maybe about the 40th anniversary celebrations, if there's anything. I'm not so interested in that, but interested if it's, if you guys have heard of anything going on of, and how it's going to affect the crowd levels.
Fred, you want to talk about crowd levels?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're talking about, what are the dates exactly that you're looking at?
The September 30th to October 6th.
Well, as of yet, there's nothing that indicates that the crowds will be any different than sort of historical averages. Now, historically, September is one of the lowest times of the year and the best times for wait times. But as you get into October, it's going to start to increase all the way from there through Thanksgiving. I really like the first week of October in terms of crowds. I think it's a good time of year to go. What we do see is that weekend crowds tend to be a lot heftier. That has to do with a couple different things going on. Food and Wine Festival draws a lot of people to Epcot on the weekends. And just in general, there seems to be, you know, the wait times anyway go up on the weekends. But during the week, you're still looking at, you know, typically below average crowds. Now, that being said, it's possible because of, you know, potential celebrations for the 40th anniversary that might increase as it gets closer. That we might see Disney, you know, expanding park hours. If that happens, that's usually a good indication that the crowds are going to be higher than normal.
Okay, great. Have you guys heard of anything going on for the 40th anniversary at all?
No, actually, Becky Menken of Mouse Fan Travel in chat just said, still lots of rumors of possible events for the 40th. Nothing solid yet. And I would agree with that.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And I want to take this opportunity to remind all of our listeners that this live show of WW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, celebrating 15 years online. That's right.
Yay!
AllEars.net is your one-stop shop for everything Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus for all the restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a free weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 133,000 other fans who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Please visit AllEars.net today. Deb, of course, thank you so much for your patronage and supporting us for all these years now.
You're welcome. And for 15 years, we have been celebrating our 15th anniversary since last December, and it will culminate this December. We have a lot of special activities going on. We just had a wonderful, wonderful time in New York City last weekend. We had 100 folks who went to see Mary Poppins all together, and we had, cool. Thanks to the folks at Mouse Fan Travel, we had a very, very special, close to an hour tour of the theater to learn all about the history, the architecture, the ghosts. We heard lots of fun stories. It was a great afternoon. And we were also very fortunate to have a private event in the Times Square Disney store prior to the store opening. So from 8 to 10, we were in there ourselves, and the Disney store cast members had plenty of magic to bestow on everyone, and I think a great time was had by all.
Awesome. Well, we're taking more of your calls. Still a lot of time to get your calls in, 407-278-5939. And don't forget to join us in our chat room. It's live.wdwtoday.com. It's free. It's easy. It's fun. You get to talk to lots of other listeners in there, and they're discussing what we're talking about and, frankly, anything else that's going on. Right now, Sarah's talking about her trip to Costa Rica. So, you know, you've got lots of different topics going on there, and it's a lot of fun. I really think they make the live shows a lot very interesting. And we like to also pull a lot of the topics that are going on the live show, a lot of the comments, into our show as well. So it's your opportunity to be a part of the show. And that's live.wdwtoday.com.
Yeah, Canada's taking a couple hits in the chat room, too, which
yeah,
is
so that's why I love the chat room.
America's Hat, America's Nicest State Park. Those are my two favorites.
I didn't see the steamer. That's funny.
They could be so mean.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
My name's Annette.
Hey, Annette.
Hey, Annette.
Hello. I'm from New Orleans. I have my trip booked already for December.
Nice.
And I was just wondering, do you think what are the odds that you think that they'll extend the free dining like they have in the years past?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Who knows? It depends. I mean, some of the things that are happening now indicate, you know, sort of changes that I think are positive for guests. Extending of hours, the new Fantasmic change that's coming in the fall. But does that translate to, you know, offering free dining? Typically, we look at free dining as a way to deal with lower, you know, lower than expected bookings. So right. If things are going well and the economy's bouncing back and they're extending hours and crowds are bigger, it's probably that probably doesn't make sense that they're going to add that incentive of the free dining.
Yeah. But well, I mean, had stranger things have happened anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just hoping. And just want to tell you guys, I love the show, listen to it all the time, and especially when I'm walking in my neighborhood, people look at me like I'm crazy for laughing on my iPod while walking.
Awesome. Thank you, Annette.
And what show
Thank
is that you.
You
listen to?
I'm sorry?
What show is that you're listening to that makes you laugh?
That would be yours.
Thank you, Annette.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Have
Annette.
A good day.
Bye.
We never distinguish between getting laughed with and laughing at. So
oh,
we call the same
that's
so we don't really care, right?
That's yeah. why she's laughing. Okay.
Yeah, those idiots.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Pete from El Paso, Texas.
Hey, Keith.
Pete.
I'm sorry, Pete.
Yes. And I had a question concerning the Disney Cruise Line.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we went on a cruise on the Disney Wonder last year.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing I didn't like about the inside stateroom was it's dark when you wake up. It's kind of hard to wake up when it's dark in there.
Yeah.
But I noticed the lamp beside the bed looked like it had a standard plug plugged into the regular wall outlet. But there was no way to check it. I was just wondering, is there a way to put just a regular, one of these cheap lamp timers to wake you up in the morning? Or is it like some weird voltage that you can't do that with?
I think they use standard American voltage. I know the ships are made in Europe, but I'm pretty sure because obviously people bring like, you know, razors and laptops and things that they need to plug in over there.
Must be.
You must be able
to. Yeah, I understand that the one on the counter is 110. You know, we use those.
Wow, what is with the phone?
Yeah, Pete, your phone stinks. sorry, we lost him. But, I would think you'd be okay with that. I mean, I love the darkness of it because it's great for sleeping. I love, like, you know, no light at all.
Oh, I can sleep till noon and not
know. Yeah, you have no idea. You must be like, oh, it must be 6 a.m. And you open up your door and it's like, it's 1
lunch.
O'clock.
Yeah.
The
so
conga
bright.
Lunch, right? but, yeah, you can a lot of people bring – Deb, you can comment on this as well, you know, to make their inside staterooms a little lighter. You know, they bring – their own alarm clocks, which obviously have an illumination to them. Night lights you can bring. There's lots of options to help with that issue of obviously you want to be able to see. The other thing some people do, and I think we've done this in the past, is you turn the light on in the bathroom and then you leave the door open a crack. So there's just enough light so at least you can see, like, you have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. You can see where you're going. That's another option for you.
Yeah, power strips are great. When I was on the Wonder the end of April, early May, they had just taken all the clocks out of the room, and the rumor was they were being replaced with, what are they called, iHomes,
yeah.
Where it's the alarm
yeah.
clock. You can put your iPod in there. I don't know if they are now installed or not, but I always bring my own alarm clock, especially if you're changing time zones. It's helpful.
Right. Good point.
Yeah, if you just go to any sort of hardware store too and look at sort of the travel stuff, there's great advancements now with these little LCD lights and stuff that you can get, little battery powered things.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about the plugging it in. You know, you can throw it in your carry on luggage, a little light that will turn on in the morning when you want to get up, that kind of thing. I use that sometimes.
We have our next call
Hello.
On the line. Hey, is this Pete?
Yeah, it's Pete again.
Okay,
hey,
much
better.
Back now.
Yeah, Google Voice let me down. I have a little bit of a follow-up question.
Yeah,
these new ships we're planning on going in 2013. Do those magic portholes, do they light up in the morning?
Do they what in the morning light up?
Yeah, will they light up on their own to wake you up in the morning?
You know what was my experience was we were leaving it on at night, and because it was dark outside, the camera that was doing the live feed put a lot of static. It was quiet. There was no noise, but there was just all interference and static on the TV. So we ended up shutting it off in the evening. I don't know if anybody in the chat room or any of you guys have been in one of the porthole rooms of it. I would imagine if you left it on that when daylight came, daylight would be on the magic porthole.
Yeah. Do you have okay. Do you have like an iPhone or something?
Yeah, it's an Android phone.
Yeah, I'm sure they have it too, but Jake O'Direwolf in the chat room suggested using your smartphone like an iPhone or an Android phone. There's a bunch of free alarm clock or nightlight apps.
So oh,
maybe
cool.
You could set one of those and just have your phone, you know, face up, and that way at a certain time it'll turn on and illuminate the room for you.
Ooh.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, check out the Android Marketplace. I'm sure there's a couple of different options out there.
Oh, well, I'm going to I'll let you know about
that. Wow.
Cool. Thanks, Pete.
And get rid of Google Voice.
407-278-5939. Another call right behind Pete. Hi, who are we speaking with?
My name is Lisa. I'm calling from Utica, New York.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
Hello?
Hello.
We're here.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Hello, Utica.
Hi. I had a question. I'm coming to reunion. I am Elba's pen in chat room, so I'm really excited about that. Really excited about my December trip because I've never been down there before. During the holidays, I had a job that wouldn't let me come in December. So excited about seeing the holiday decorations and stuff. I was wondering the lighting between Port Orleans and French Quarter and Riverside, which has better lighting?
Lighting.
You're talking about outdoor lighting, like lighting of the walkways and whatnot? Or inside the
Yeah. Yes, no, outdoor lighting. I'm legally blind. I have trouble seeing at night sometimes, so I was wondering.
Okay, great question.
Which one would have better lighting?
Based on nothing but my own assumption, I would think it would be not French Quarter. Well, actually, maybe it is French Quarter. I would say Alligator Bayou would not be. It's got kind of that rustic thing. So there's a lot of trees and foliage that would kind of dim that. But the Magnolia Bend aspect of it might be pretty well lit, as I recall. French Quarter might not be a bad option. The good thing about French Quarter is it's such a tight-knit resort that if you're staying in a building like close to the main building, I mean, there's nothing. It's so close that there's not a whole lot of issue with not being able to see or darkness because you've got the light from the main building and you've got the lights from the hotel building, so it kind of works pretty well. So I think,
yeah, I would think French Quarter would be better to navigate. The only thing you're not going to get then is a sit-down restaurant. But otherwise, that would be my recommendation is to stay at French Quarter.
And Andre Wiley in the chat room, who's a Port Orleans expert, recommends French Quarter.
Yeah, he's got a website there too, doesn't he?
Yeah, portorleans.org.
That's right.
Okay, thanks. I had looked on Jen's website and I couldn't really find anything about the lighting, so I thought I'd ask here, but...
That's actually a great question.
I'm sure Len will have us out there with our lightometers.
I was just saying, that's a great...
Thanks a lot, Lisa.
Thank you, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Lisa.
See you in December.
Okay. Yep.
Lightometers.
Okay, yay. Thanks.
There's an official name for those, is it? I forget what it is.
I think Fred might be... You might be right, Fred. I think it might be called a lightometer.
That's what I call it.
Yeah.
407-278-5939, and we have Kim from Pittsburgh on the line. Hey, Kim.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Kim.
Good, Kim.
Hey. Well, I've got my December trip planned. Fingers crossed that a certain thing doesn't happen in August.
Yes. I was just talking about that today, as a matter of fact.
Yes, certain things should not happen in August.
No.
So that I can go in December.
Although, Kim, on the 6th, I'm leaving for a week at Old Key West. So either way, I'm going.
Good luck, bro.
Well,
good luck,
yeah. You're going in August, but I never plan big things for years like this.
I know.
Until after.
It's nerve-wracking, so, I know.
But I just hope I get to see all you guys at reunion. And you're really tempting me to stay that Sunday night. I mean, I planned on going home Sunday. And I don't know if I have the vacation time to stay. I might have to shave one day off the front and put it on the back. So, but the Sunday night event sounds very tempting.
so many great options between Reunion and December to Remember and whatever meets, you know, that are going on as well. I mean, lots of other people hold meets during the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, really, yes, of December. So I know it's a tough choice. I totally get it.
So, but yeah, I just wanted to say hi, and I am really looking forward to being on the Fantasy.
Nice.
I have it booked for December of 12 for a week.
Wow. That should be great.
I have a balcony, a veranda suite booked, or cabin, not a suite. I wish I could afford a suite. But I'm really looking forward to it. But I hadn't talked to you guys in a while. I just wanted to say hi and just tell Mike, fingers crossed.
Yep, I got my fingers crossed.
You guys have a good night.
Thank you, Kim.
Take care, Kim. Thanks.
407-278-5939. I think our next call is from across the pond.
Really?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Will Showcase? Oh.
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie. Where are you calling from?
England.
England.
Wow. Good morning.
Wow, it's pretty late.
Yeah, it's early morning.
Hey, can you turn down your radio?
Is that better?
It's probably a real big delay going to England.
Yeah.
No, what can we do for you?
I'm going on a cruise, and I just wanted to ask a question about the cruise.
Sure.
Go ahead.
My question is, I've never been on a ship before, and people are like telling me I'm going to be seasick all the time, and I just want to know if somebody who's actually been on a cruise, it'll make me, it's not rocky, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, Deb, I know this is a common question. Actually, you know what? I want to go to Mike's scope on this because Mike was someone who tried cruising for the first time. I'm sure, Mike, that thought had crossed your mind many times about being concerned about seasickness. What is your honest opinion about seasickness on the cruise line?
Well, I can tell you that I hardly felt the ship moving.
Yeah.
So I did not get a sense of being sick. I had a balcony. I went out on the balcony when the ship was moving at night. I could feel the ship moving, but I wasn't feeling, you know, queasy. The people who I was on the ship with, they said they could feel the ship moving. And I said, gee, I can't feel it moving. So, but I think everybody's different. I think that what would be the safest thing to do would be to assume that you're going to be sick and to have something with you just in case. That's what I would say.
In the United States, we have Bonine. That's the it's a pill you can take that'll help.
Yeah.
One issue with it is
I've heard of that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if they have something, if it's that same brand in the United Kingdom or if it's something else, but you can get something like that. If all else fails, you can just pick it up in Port Canaveral before you get on the ship. It's a good option.
Judy, what ship are you going to be on?
I think it's the Magic.
The Magic. Okay.
The Magic. Yeah. We're going in. I think it's January. We're spending 2 weeks at Orkney West in September.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then we're flying out New Year's Eve. Oh, that's another question. Can I sneak another one in while I'm here?
Sure.
Absolutely. Anything for British people.
We're flying out New Year's Eve. We're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, but unfortunately, our park tickets don't start till January the 1st. So, what is the best place to go to? Like, which resort or where is anything going on New Year's Eve? Because everything's going to be happening in the parks and we're going to be like stuck outside.
Okay.
I just wanted the best place to go.
Well, wow. Polynesian, you can see the fireworks from the Magic Kingdom, obviously. Boardwalk or Yacht Club similar. You can see the Epcot fireworks from over there. I don't think none of the, unless I'm mistaken, and the resorts don't have any, like, there's no resort specific fireworks. They used to do fireworks at Downtown Disney many years ago. They stopped doing that. I'm not sure why, but I'm sure it has to do with the economy. I mean, you've got some resorts you can go to watch the fireworks from. It's going to be kind of a zoo, as you might imagine there. Those are options for you.
Right. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Enjoy your trip.
Yeah.
Trip sounds awesome.
I will do. I've got two coming up, so can't wait.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Cheerio.
Bye.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And let's keep things rolling. Lots of great calls so far this evening. Lots of great topics. And we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Ryan from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call.
Standing.
Hey, I got a two trips coming up, one in October for 9 days, and then we're going on a cruise, and we're going to the parks for 4 days. We're going to get an annual pass, and we already have our reservations booked already. What would be the best way to go about getting that pass, trade in our days on our Key to the World card?
I don't think you can have an annual pass on a Key to the World card. I've never heard of that.
Oh, no, you can't. We thought the same thing.
We had the same question last week.
And then we had, actually, the guy in chat room, Jake O'Dyrolf, he emailed us, and he showed us pictures, picture proof.
Yeah. Send the link in the chat if you can find it.
So they'll put your annual – well, I'm learning something, too. They'll put your annual pass on your Key to the World card, and so what happens on your next trip?
They give you, like, the key says on it, not a hotel room or – park old something like that. There's a photo of it. Someone could put us in the chat room, we'll let Deb take a look at it. I know it was in the show notes for that episode, but John, who posted them, might have them more handy than that. But yeah, that you can do that, and I believe the concierge can handle that for you, is what I've been told.
Should I wait to do that or change my reservations? We have a 9-day listed now. Should I wait until we get down there and then change them? We have the dining plan too as well. Should I wait and take the and get an annual pass when we get down there, or should I get one before we go, do you think?
I mean, if you get one before you go, the advantage there is you're not wasting any time trying to get a ticket. There's more, you know, you can go right to the parks. You don't have to spend 10, 20 minutes, whatever it is, you know, waiting for your ticket to be processed. So there's that option for you. If it doesn't matter to you, or if you're kind of, you know, if you got plenty of time or whatever, then you can go for the in-park stuff. Personally, don't see an advantage unless someone else is. I'm not seeing an angle that someone else sees.
Yeah. What about an AP discount if there was one available at that time? We're not having an annual pass then. When we checked in, would you still be able to get and maybe produce it later after you come back from the park from that day?
If you have an annual pass, well, the only annual pass discounts are if you're a Florida resident or you're a Disney Vacation Club member. Are you either of those?
No. Then. That's the only time. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, right? Yeah.
Okay, sounds good, guys.
Cool. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And, you know, I know a lot of people were trying to get through at the beginning of the show. Let me tell you, hour number two is the time to call. So call in right now. And we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the line with us?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Dana from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, Dana.
Hi.
So we're going to be going down to the World in August. We're going to be staying at the Beach Club. I just have some dining-related questions for you guys.
Yeah, sure.
We've been to Le Cellier for dinner before, but we wanted to go there for lunch this time because of the price change. But we were wondering, can we get the same steak, for example? You know, the same filet. Is that the same on a lunch menu? Do you know?
Well, I can tell you, Dana, that there was one time when I went there for lunch and I asked, and they were able to bring me the dinner portion of the strip steak. So I always tell people it doesn't hurt to ask. So you may want to ask. Yeah.
Okay, great. So the filet that's listed on the menu, it's a little bit different wording. So I was just wondering if it's the same or different.
But keep in mind that if you do that, you're not going to be paying lunch prices for that. Yeah, you're going to be paying the dinner price for that particular entree.
Yeah, it's slightly different is I guess what Mike's trying to get to. Yeah.
Okay, so it is different. Okay. Thanks. And then what about Blue Zoo versus Yachtsman?
Well, there's a major price difference.
Well, it's a major difference in their specialties too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we have most of our ADR set and we have one that's kind of left and in between those two. So we're kind of just, if you have any suggestions about.
Have you been to either one before?
No, you haven't been to either. So.
You know, yeah, I mean, I personally, if it was me, I would go with Yachtsman. Even though I've had okay meals at Yachtsman and great meals at Yachtsman. I'm just not a huge, I haven't really bought into the Blue Zoo fanboy stuff that's going on now. I mean, for years it really had a negative vibe on the internet, and then recently a lot of people have picked up on it, and I'm just not quite convinced yet. But that's just me, personal opinion here. Deb, do you have any opinions on either?
I don't personally care for Yachtsman. I've had more mediocre meals there. I actually love the steak at Flying Fish. And since you're talking about seafood and steak, you might want to – I know it sounds funny, but Flying Fish is one of my favorite places to go, and they have a great steak. And their seafood is awesome, too. I know Deb Coma loves Blue Zoo. She goes there almost every trip, and they really enjoy it a lot. I just think you can get better steak on property than you can at Yachtsman, but there's other people who don't agree with me. So that's just my two cents.
I would also add, if you're going to Blue Zoo, you can get discount coupons for it on restaurant.com. So make sure if you're going to go there, grab a coupon. It's like you pay like $2 and you get a coupon for like $25 off.
Great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
And if you love oysters, they've got an oyster bar at Blue Zoo.
Great. And are there any counter service options at Beach Club? I know the unofficial guide said that there's no convenient counter service location. Like, is there?
There is one in the gift shop. It offers like really basic options. You know, obviously it's kind of a, I wouldn't call it a grab and go, but I mean, they have some hot options there for like breakfast and lunch. I mean, nothing special. Pizza. Right. It's not very good. So
no, it's not. Okay. It isn't a typical counter service. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Bye.
407-278-5939, our phone number, and let's take our next phone call. Hi, you're on WDW Today Live.
Hi, this is Brian from Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
How you doing?
Great.
I'm very excited. This is my first live show.
Thank you for checking us out.
It's my second.
Very good. I am bummed. I am unable to get into the chat room for some reason. I'm at live.wdwtoday.com. So if anyone can respond to my, I put a comment in the show notes, show comments page. I posted something there. If anyone has any suggestions on how I get past this error,
it's a flash chat room. You're not using like an iPad or something like that, are you?
No, I've got two computers going. I've got IE9 on one. I've got my other computer. I've got Firefox. I'm just not sure what's going on here. I've disconnected from server, so.
Oh, okay. So you're seeing that. So the app's coming up. I'll take a look. What's your question?
Is Fred's the statistician, right? I had a question for Len, but Fred's on the show tonight?
Yep.
Master
yeah.
Statistician.
Yeah. I taught Len everything he knows anyway, so just go ahead.
So here's the thing.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I listened to Len's guest appearance on Henry's show about the science behind touring plans, which I found fascinating because I work in the fundraising profession and I'm a data analyst and I do predictive modeling, so I buy into all that kind of science and data. What I'm kind of curious to know, though, is so I can understand when, like, one new attraction comes online, how that has little effect on the touring plans, but I'm just trying to think, like, with the data collection and all, when a new area opens, like the Fantasyland expansion, how does, when something like that great comes online, there's all this new data points and all these new wait times that you don't have data for, and that throws up all the wait time data that you have historically. How does touring plans adjust for that, and am I making sense, Fred?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no easy scientific answer. I mean, you know, as a predictive modelist, you know that you can only predict something if it's happened in the past. And so, I mean, there's a line there where you have to kind of just go with your own sort of instinct and what you've seen happen in the past. I can't think of any example of where an entire land has been redone. The only exception might be the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, where we had collected many years of data at the Islands of Adventure, and then all of a sudden this, you know, massive change to the entire park comes along and, you know, just sucks all the people into one corner of the park, and we, you know, you're able to track of what happens at the other attractions. And what we saw at Universal is that the popular attractions outside of that land are still the popular ones. So Spider-Man still had wait times higher than anything else. The roller coaster still had higher wait times. But they tended to get higher later in the day. So what happens is basically is that, and it kind of makes sense when you think about it, is that whenever there's something new, it's going to attract a lot of people, at least in the short term. So I think when it comes time for us to start predicting, you know, or what's going to happen with the new Fantasyland expansion, we're going to be looking at, you know, it's going to draw a lot more people than it normally would, but it's probably not going to draw as many people away from the headliners like Space Mountain and Splash Mountain as you might think. I think those sort of headliners attractions are still going to draw big weights. Just in the short term, it's going to be, you know, a lot of people flooding, you know, that particular area just to check things out.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But it's hard. I mean, when it, you know, like when it hasn't happened, I mean, until you, I mean, we're finding this now with Star Tour, the new Star Tours, and with Little Mermaid ride out in Disneyland. You know, we kind of go in with an hypothesis and try to guess what's going to happen. And then only after collecting things for a few days do you really get a sense of what the real case is going to be.
So does it only take like a few days of collecting data to really kind of like get on board with a new model?
It's amazing, yeah. I was really surprised that, you know, in the first few days we took a look at what was happening at Star Tours and at Mermaid, like I said, and basically it's been the same ever since. So it really is a good indicator, you know. And that kind of goes along with everything else we know. We just did this big experiment yesterday where we had a bunch of people ride Space Mountain all day long, you know, timing weights and whatever. And the pattern that we observed was basically the same pattern that we've been seeing for the last 10 years. So these things are pretty consistent. People tend to behave the same way.
Great. Well, I'll have to call back and bust Len's Van Halen chops from that episode of the Beta Mouse, which I think he was either extremely polite or really doesn't have a street cred on David Lee Roth's solo career too well. I'll take the test of that another time, but thank you very much, and hopefully I'll get some help with that chat business.
Cool. Yeah, it seems to me you might have a firewall issue. That's the best I could find in the 30 seconds I could search for it.
Okay.
My suggestion would be, obviously, if you have like Windows Firewall or a Norton program or something like that, make sure they're allowing that to go through.
Allowing the Lite IRC?
Yeah, it's an IRC server, so it's kind of a different. I'm not sure if some software is blocking your port. Other than that, I mean, it's coming up, so it's not a flash issue, so I'm not exactly sure why else.
I'm able to get it into Firefox and Chrome, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Have a good night, fellas.
Thanks.
Bye.
407-278-5939. And Scott from North Carolina is on the line with us. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Scott.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
Good. Couple of questions for you. We're set to arrive at Disney on the morning of December 10th. Again, really looking forward to reunion.
Woo, cool.
And, yeah, we're excited. Couple of questions. The following week on Wednesday, the 14th, we're going to try to go to the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. And any chance of that selling out? Can we wait a while to buy the tickets for that?
Scott, you're the not so scary or very merry expert. I mean, typically, right, Michael? It's not like the only ones that really sell out are the ones close to or that are close to Christmas. I mean, it's like the ones closer at the end, toward the end of December, right?
Yeah. The thing is that when are you going to get down, Scott? When are the dates?
Wednesday, December 14th is when it's kind of the day we've picked out to go.
That shouldn't be that bad. I'm just looking at the calendar here, and it's the
Sunday?
Third. It's Wednesday the 14th is the one he's talking about. And
oh, the 14th. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's right. Also offered on the 11th and on the 13th. So you're talking about the third party in 4 days. The last of, you know, the third parties and three parties in 4 days.
I think it'll be okay.
Right. Should be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thing is, Scotty, that you're there. That's the week before Christmas. And traditionally, and Fred can back this up, That's pretty much the best week to be down there in December, the week before Christmas. So that's probably also the best week to go to the party. So,
it's not the last one, and it's not the second last one.
That's cool. Yeah, I studied the touring plans when we were deciding on that week. So, we're really excited. We're hoping for great crowds.
Oh yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be well below average.
Great. And one other question: How does the dinner packages for the candlelight processional work? We're trying to get an ADR at La Cellier,
and no luck. But according to our agent at MEI, there are blocks of times that are that have not been released because of the dinner packages. And just wasn't sure how that worked and if it's even worth it to do the dinner package.
Part of the dinner package deal depends on who the celebrity narrator is. I can tell you that last year when Whoopi Goldberg appeared, that was the first dinner package to sell out. And the crowds and the lines, the standby lines, were huge. So the more popular the narrator, the harder it's going to get. The one thing you do get with the dinner package, and again, depends on the narrator and it depends on the time of year that you go, is that you do have a reserved seating area. That does not mean you don't have to wait in line, but you don't wait in line as long as the general seating folks. Usually during the week, early in December, especially if it's not a real well-known narrator, you can get into the first show without the package, and it's, you're just going to have to decide how important it is for you to see that particular narrator and do the package. And if it is that important, then yes, get the package.
Okay. Our agent at MEI said she, I think last year the seating was tiered by the restaurant. Is that the case?
I don't know that one.
Seating okay. By the restaurant, like all the beer garden people sit together at the thing?
No, like certain restaurants, like Le Cellier, was offered the best seating toward the front.
Right.
I don't think so. I think you just get the seating, the people who have the package are allowed to go in first. I know
right.
that.
But
I don't think it's like, you know, oh, you coral reef people stay in the back, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so regardless of which restaurant we pick for the package, we'll need to queue up, but we'll be allowed to go in before the general seating.
Correct. Right.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks a lot, guys, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you at reunion.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and we have another call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Amanda from Ohio.
Hey, Amanda.
I'm good. How are you guys tonight?
What's happening?
Great.
Good. I just had two quick questions for you. We're looking at going down, arriving at Disney World on December 3rd and leaving on December 11th. And those dates, the day we get there is the day that the Pop Warner event starts, and the day we leave is the day that it ends. What effect does that have on the crowds, and would you recommend picking a different date, or do you think we'll be okay?
So I'm assuming that's just a coincidence. You're not actually playing in the Pop Warner Football Championship. Is that right? As far as you know, yeah. The Pop Warner, we added that on the crowd calendar because what happens is that it really clogs up the resorts. There's lots of, especially, you know, families with young children that are going to completely flood to the resorts, and especially the value resorts. Okay. Most of the activities that they take part in are going to take place over at the Wide World of Sports Complex, ESPN Sports Zone area. So there isn't really a huge impact in terms of the wait times that you're going to see in the parks. But it can mean that, you know, booking resort reservations can be difficult because there aren't as many rooms available. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. If we're looking at staying at the beach club, do you think that would be a big issue with booking earlier?
Shouldn't be, no. It's any deluxe, okay. I think, would be a lot less. Although, I mean, well, no, beach club should be fine. Do you not have your reservations yet?
No, we don't yet.
Yeah. No, I think you should be fine. I don't see a lot of Pop Warner families staying at the beach club.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then my second question was kind of related to our reservation. We were thinking about waiting till like some sort of deal came out. Do you think they're going to come out with any type of like room discount or meal plan discount for that time of the month? And do you know when that might come out?
That's a real tough one. I think I talked about it earlier. It's difficult to say. My instinct is that it probably wouldn't happen this year. But I mean, if it did, I wouldn't be surprised. I think just because some of the indications we have so far is that crowds are increasing. I mean, we've seen them expand park hours. We've seen them expand the Fantasmic schedule. These are signs that they're getting more people coming down and the economy is coming back. So typically when they add those kinds of incentives that you're talking about, discounts and free dining, they're doing that because attendance is low. So yeah. To me, it seems unlikely. Like I said, if they did, it wouldn't be the first time that I was wrong and the first time that I was surprised. So you never know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. That was it. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Amanda.
Have a good night.
Thanks.
Fred, I don't usually like to pile on here, but someone in the chat room had a really great comment. I am Oscar said, Fred in Canada, are they called Frosted Flakes or Flakes?
that's a pretty good one.
That's, I think, the new winner so far. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Adam. Adam from Minnesota.
Hey, Adam, you're on with Deb Wills, our special guest today, and the rest of us.
And the rest.
Hello, everyone.
I feel like
how you guys doing?
I feel like I'm Marianne and the professor.
Yeah, really?
Well, it's great to speak with you all. I love the podcast, and I'm excited. I got a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, sure.
My wife and family, I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. We're heading down to Disney. It's probably, as a family, our second trip. My wife and I have been down there 6 or 7 times. And like I said, we're from Minnesota, so we always fly down. And we stay on Disney property. And we've always just taken Disney transportation, but with the kids, we're thinking about the possibility of renting a car this time.
Uh-huh.
But I guess we're kind of looking for some opinions with that. We look. The unofficial guide has some charts where it compares riding the Disney bus to taking your own transportation. And it seems to me that the buses, actually based on that chart, typically are a few minutes faster. And I don't know if that just kind of factors in some of the tram time and that, but it just seems like they're faster. So I'm wondering, for those of you that maybe do rent cars, what's your reasoning? And another thing also, let me mention, we're not necessarily going off-site for anything. We're doing a little bit of resort dining, okay. Or we're doing it at the Magic Kingdom Loop.
Well, the patron saint of car rentals is Mike Scopa. So, Mike, go ahead.
okay, Adam, here's a couple of questions. Number one, what do you think your touring habits would be like? Will you be leaving the parks real late at night? Will your kids be tired? Will they be looking for a good place to sit and be nice and comfortable? Yeah. So if that's the case, then the car is going to work for you. I think we're all in agreement when it comes to the Magic Kingdom being the place to always look for buses to go to. When you're renting a car. And it's funny because I've been doing some research this week. One of the things I found out is that if you go online and you try to reserve a car more than a month ahead of your trip, the prices will be pretty high. But if you go within 7 to 10 days of your trip, the prices will be much better. So keep that in mind. Also, one of the things that you want to do is you want to decide if you want to be the person who decides what car you're going to drive in, or do you want to leave that up to the car rental agency? There are certain agencies that will say, take that white one over there, here are the keys. And there will be others that will say, pick the car, whatever. There are also clubs that you can join. Alamo has Quicksilver. Let me see. What's the other one? Emerald Isle is for
National.
National, yeah, and there are some others. So you may want to look into those. Look into discounts. Go to Mouse Savers looking for discounts. If you happen to be a member of AARP, I think they offer the best. They offer the absolute best discounts. You can also, depending upon how you book, sometimes you can go through your airlines. You can get a discount. You need to do a lot of homework. You need to do a lot of research. You need to not be satisfied with the first price that you get, but you want to start thinking about the rental car and what you want to spend. You want to get the smallest car you can get because of gas, things like that. I mean, there's so many things to take into consideration.
What about,
go ahead.
About, What about Disney's tram process? You know, sometimes when you know, if you leave the park at the end of the day when the park closes, and you do have to wait for two or three buses sometimes. How does the tram work? Is that kind of comparable where sometimes you have to wait for two or three tram cycles before you get back to your vehicle?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think the tram cycle is that bad of where you have to wait. First of all, they come a lot more often than the buses do if they're really backed up. But really, when the park closes, they know. I mean, they know when the busy times are. I mean, I've never really had an issue with that. And certainly, you know, like in Epcot, I almost always walk back. Yeah. I think it's faster than taking the tram.
Okay.
You know, so there's definitely options. I mean, I'm with Scope. I love to rent cars. Before I moved down here, I should say. And a lot of people in the chat room are agreeing with me. It seems the overwhelming consensus is that rental cars. It's just a matter of saving time because you just go. You're gonna be doing stuff faster, getting from point A to point B.
Okay.
Add one thing that the trams are the worst at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I was just going to say the only time I've had to wait,
which is another point why we don't even just take the Disney transportation. You don't worry about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Le Cellier? We kind of are comparing the now that it's two credits for the dinner at Le Cellier and one credit for a lunch. Anybody out there that has had both the lunch and the dinner, and how do they compare?
No, I think you've been there a couple times recently, right?
Just recently, I had lunch and dinner there. Yeah.
So, what's your take on that, Mike? Is it different, or I mean, how would you compare lunch to dinner now?
Well, I had the steak both times.
Wait, other than AJ blowing you off, of course.
Well, you know, hey, I offered, she accepted and didn't show up.
Violin, so,
you know, poor guy. I can't believe AJ Disney Food Blog would blow you off like that.
Not that I'm bitter.
Wow.
The portion was a little bit smaller, but not all that much different, I thought. So, I mean, if I had a choice, if I was using dining credits, I would go with the lunch as opposed to the dinner if I had to make a choice.
Good. Okay. Yeah, and that's us. We're on the dining plan. So that's great to know.
Okay.
All right, guys. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
You too.
All right.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Don't forget, join us in our chat room, live.wdwtoday.com. We had a great conversation going on in the chat room about rental cars and buses and the whole – it's always a great topic to discuss and a lot of great opinions going on in there. And there's people who really believe the rental cars are the way, and there's a lot of people that believe that, you know what, Disney transportation is the way to go. There's even a conversation about the tram doors, you know, the new doors they added on the parking tram. So lots of great conversation. You can be part of it. It's easy. It's free. Just go to live.wdwtoday.com. Join us in that chat room.
AJ's getting a boo in the chat.
Good job, Betsy. I think her dad left. Sure. AJ's dad was her Disney Food Blog was in the chat room before, but. He doesn't defend her. He'll make fun of her.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll hear about it next month, too. Oh, did I leak that out?
Oh. Mike.
Sorry. Spoiled. Sorry.
Next caller on the line. Let's keep moving. Who are we talking with?
Am I the next caller?
You are indeed.
Outstanding. This is WDW fanboy Brett. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Brett.
What's
hey,
happening?
Brett. How much?
Nothing
for you.
Just hanging out.
Pretty good.
You know.
What's on tonight, Brett?
I lost you for a second. What's that?
What's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to ask, I heard one of the previous questions asking about Pop Century. And I've been at Disney Pop Century for the last 3 or 4 years. So I just wanted to give a quick update to that question, and I also wanted to ask you a question about the new Princess Rapunzel.
Hey, go ahead.
Wanted to know...
Hey, Brett, quick, can you turn down your radio?
Yeah, hold on one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, there we go. Sorry, did I keep you up?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, cool. I wanted to mention, one of your previous listeners just talked about Pop Warner. And I just wanted to let them know that if they're going to be in Disney at that time, there might be small bursts of crowds here and there with groups of kids going to the parks. Definitely make sure that you do not stay at the All-Star Resorts, specifically All-Star Sports, during that time, because it's completely mobbed with teenagers and high school kids.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
And the other thing I wanted to ask was, I'm sure you guys are aware, Rapunzel has just been announced as a new official Disney princess. Now, do you guys personally, do you think there's going to be hugs and kisses all around, or do you think it's going to be a lot of backstabbing and poison apples from those who have been around for decades?
Deb, this is a perfect question for you.
Oh, my God.
Speaking as a woman, tell me the truth.
Well, they won't be wearing the same dresses, so we won't.
Yeah, well, they might be in competition, though, for their hairdos.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that Sleeping Beauty girl has had she's just got a chip on her shoulder for so many years.
I can't even go where my head's going with that one.
Oh, believe me, my head's already been there. I started off with the hugs and kisses all around. After I thought about that for about half hour or so, I moved on to what actually might happen.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do with her hair, though, won't it be? I think that's what I'm really the most curious about, what they're going to do with her hair.
Maybe it'll be the largest bun ever.
That's true. They could go back. They could go back to Disney of the '60s and copy a hairdo from there.
That could be her dress. That could be her gown. Her hair.
She could actually match a hairdo to the castle. Get a beehive that goes about three stories high.
Nice. I like it. Although Disney will get sued with a lawsuit from Priscilla Presley's estate. 407. She had a beehive, didn't she? Priscilla Presley, isn't that her?
I don't know.
All right.
Stop bugging us.
Anyway, 407-278-5939. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Steven.
Hey, Steven, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Australia.
Wow.
Oh, awesome.
Wow. Nice. Good day, Gappa.
Monday morning.
My question today, Monday morning, 10 to midday here, Monday. Almost lunchtime.
Wow.
Perfect.
So we're ahead of you down here.
Wow.
In more ways than one.
So my question is about dining. Coming from Australia, don't get to Walt Disney World too often. And I'd like to try a number of the different restaurants, but I don't necessarily want to have the expense of eating entrees at all of them. How do the restaurants react if you just come in and say, I just want to have a dessert and skip the entree?
I think that's fine, right?
Shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
Shouldn't be a problem?
Deb, I'm sure you've eaten that over the years. You just had an appetizer or maybe even just a dessert.
Yeah, sometimes I've had an appetizer. A part of it will depend. Hopefully you get a server who understands. If you have a party of four and it's a very busy restaurant and there's lots of turnover and you just want to come in and have a $5 app, they should treat you like any other guest eating a full meal in there. But, every now and then you get someone who might not be happy with that. But appetizers are great. I've gone in and had appetizers. I don't think there's any restaurants that would charge a share fee, except do they do that at a character meal? I'm trying to remember.
Well, obviously, if it's a buffet, I mean, you're going to pay the full price for it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of our listeners know that I'm not a big fan of the sci-fi at the studios, but I will say that a great idea is to go to the sci-fi and just order the milkshakes and enjoy the ambiance of the restaurant, and that's a great option for you. That way you're avoiding the food, which I don't think is very good, but the milkshakes are quite good.
Another thing you could do, too, is sit at the bar. Some of the deluxe restaurants have bars, and you can go in there, dress more casually. You can have just dessert or just an appetizer, whatever you'd like.
That's a great tip.
Cool. That's great.
Cool. Thanks for checking us out. We appreciate it.
Okay. I love your show. Listen to it 3 times a week.
Awesome. Great.
Keeps me in touch. Okay. Bye.
Thanks so much.
See
you.
407-278-5939. Always cool when we get the international calls. We appreciate that dedication.
Yep.
Lots of them tonight.
Absolutely. We have another call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Fanboy Brett again. Sorry about that. The gerbil died, so I got disconnected.
Oh, don't worry.
my real question was actually for Deb along the lines of dining at Disney. Where is your favorite counter service restaurant in Epcot?
I like the Tangerine Cafe in Morocco. I like the food there. It offers a little bit. It's different food than other places. It's refreshing. You can go veggie if you want. You can go cool. I turned masayo on one time to the tabbouleh, which is mostly parsley with a little bulgur wheat. It's a very light, especially if it's real hot out. They just about anything I've had there is really good. Yeah. So that's my favorite in Epcot.
Oh, yeah. I love tabbouleh. I actually make tabbouleh myself. But,
cool.
Outstanding. It's one of the most healthiest eats you can have. We've eaten at Morocco, the Tangerine Cafe, quite a few times. Somebody had actually posted a link showing some misspellings on the menu. Next time you have a chance, take a look at that and let us know if that's on purpose or not, because we got in a little debate whether that was on purpose or not. And I said, being Disney, three or four mistakes they made in the wording, I would have to believe, didn't miss the Disney editor's eyes.
Yeah. You mean mistakes on the menu we have on All Ears, or mistakes on the menu posted at the cafe?
Mistakes on the menu posted at the cafe. I could find it, but I don't want to take the time to go find it right now. But somebody had actually taken a picture and posted a link up on a site and threw it into the debate saying, do you really think this was on purpose or not? And like I said, there was probably about 3 to 5 misspellings, and I forget exactly what they were, but if you just read through the menu they have posted outside on the stand, you'd probably catch them if you have, you know, more than a 6th grade education.
Cool.
Wow.
Thanks, Brett.
Interesting.
Thanks very much for calling in.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
bye.
Brett. 407-278-5939. Still a few more minutes to get your calls in this live show, and we've got a special announcement, although Newell kind of already blew it. Thanks, Mike.
Anything for you, pal.
That's all right. I don't think most people picked up on it. At least the chat room didn't pick up on it. But,
no, there was not one mention in chat.
Yeah. Our next caller's on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Raffi from Manila.
Hey, Raffi.
Manila, Philippines.
Calling from the Philippines.
Wow. Yeah. It's International Day.
Excellent.
Nice.
Yep. I've been listening, but I think I have a lag in my phone.
Yeah, no worries. What's on your mind tonight, Raffi?
Yeah, actually, I was hoping I can ask about a couple of things. Because I'm going to the States and Orlando and Disney World around December 1 to December 10.
Uh-huh.
So, As I mentioned to you earlier in the chat, Matt, I'm hoping to join the reunion.
Nice.
But,
great.
I'm joining a cruise from December 1 to 4, and then Disney World from December 4 to the 10th. So my question is, actually, I'm having some concerns on how to travel back and forth since I'm there for a visit. I'm not really renting a car. So getting to the to the port, to back to the resort. What are the options that I have?
Well,
Disney transportation. That would be a great option. It's not included. Oh. I'm not sure what the current price is. It's around, anybody in the chat room knows, around $25 maybe for each person. But I mean, that would get you right from the cruise line to a resort on property. And, might be your best bet. You can always rent a car. You can always use a town car service. So those are several options. But if you're unfamiliar, I'd leave the driving to someone else.
Yeah, that's a good point. From the Philippines, yeah, you might want to take the Disney transportation.
Yeah, okay. How about for traveling between, from the resort to the parks? Is Disney transportation a good enough option? Or is renting a car? Because I've been listening to your podcast, and I think you've been mentioning that renting a car is a much better option.
Yeah, we like rental cars. There's nothing wrong with Disney transportation. I mean, it's not bad or anything. So if you wanted to use Disney transportation, it's fine. We just think that renting a car is more efficient. It's faster. It's our preference. But if you were to tell us, is it okay to use Disney transportation? Absolutely. They do a good job.
Yep.
Okay. I guess I'll try to do that then. My next question is, during reunion, so you guys want anything from Hong Kong Disneyland?
Oh.
Wow. Yeah,
could you use anything on your site from Hong Kong?
Wow. How often have you been?
I I try to go at once a year, but this year I wasn't able to go because I decided to go to Singapore instead to visit. So anyway, my stopover is actually Hong Kong. So before I go to the States, I'll be passing by Hong Kong.
Nice. Yeah, no, I mean,
you could always send us a guest blog with some photos.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I can bring some of that during reunion.
Cool. Thanks, Raph. We're looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And I guess we should mention, since a couple of people in the chat room already have been blabbing about it since we mentioned it. But our next live show in July, which tentatively should be, we haven't set up the date yet, but tentatively should be the 31st. But if it's regardless, the next our special guest next month will be AJ from Disney Food Blog, so you can hear us. She'll be answering your questions, and we'll of course give her some flack for ditching Newell.
I have an idea, Matt.
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
We tell her the date, and then we don't show up.
There you go.
There you go.
What do you think of that?
AJ's a lot of fun, so we look forward to having her on next month's show. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Still some time to get in your questions. If you were having some issues, especially in hour number one, now is the time to get them in.
Now is the best time.
Let's get the show rolling. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Allison from St. Louis.
Hey, Allison.
Allison.
Hi.
How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Doing good. My question is about dining. We have a group of 15 folks that are going down in December.
Wow.
And I was looking, it'll be interesting. And I was wondering if it was possible to make dining reservations for 15 people. And the only reason I asked was I looked at Disney's website, and it said that you could reserve up to 14 people, but I didn't know if you could reserve for 15.
You can. What you have to do, if the website won't let you, obviously you could try calling in the number, like 407, I haven't called them, so WWDine. Your other option is you could call the restaurant directly. I know with like really large groups, that's what you'll have to do. Yeah, there's absolutely no reason why you can't. You're just going to have to, obviously, with 15 people, your options might be somewhat limited. And your other option is, of course, you just make two reservations for the same time.
I was just going to say, I did that just last night for Ohana during reunion. I made a reservation for 20 people, and I made two reservations for 10 each at the exact same time, and no problem at all.
Yeah, we had a reservation during Star Wars Weekends for 30 people, and we had just three different reservations. And we called it, went there a couple days actually beforehand. We're just like, by the way, those three reservations were all us. And they were like, oh, yeah, no problem. But
now, they don't guarantee you all sit together when you do that.
Yeah, that's the caveat.
Right.
But then again, they don't have any tables for 15 anyway, more than likely.
That's true, too, right.
Okay, yeah. We were thinking about doing it for a candlelight processional package for Beer Garden. So we figured our chances were halfway decent because the tables are larger, but I think the two reservation will work.
Yeah. You could always do the Len Testa, too, and make a reservation for four and just show up. Well, that works recommended for him in this case.
No, not. Well, thank you guys so much. I enjoy the show and keep up the good work.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Thanks, bye-bye. Allison. Whoo. It's Allison, Robin.
407-278-5939. We've got time for one more call. So whoever wants to be the last caller of the night, and Mike Newell doesn't have to pick.
Hello, Janine. You're on the air. No? Janine's not calling?
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And I can't believe the 2 hours have gone by so quickly. But of course, you know, our special guest this evening was Deb Wills from AllEars.net. And Deb, you did a spectacular job as always.
Ah, you're kind. Listen, too, before I get off, I want to give a shout out to anybody out there listening that was at the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet yesterday. We had a lot of fans come over to the table. Really appreciated meeting and seeing everyone. And I see Mousetalgia Dave is in the chat room, and he was at the table next to us. He was great. So just wanted to say hey, because a lot of folks came and said they were WW Today podcast fans.
Nice.
That just means we'll have to go out there now.
Absolutely.
Road trip.
Road trip.
And Deb, we're hoping to get you on some more shows. I know you've been very busy traveling and everything like that, so we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule for us, and we're hoping that in the future we can get you on some, obviously live shows would be great, but also some regular shows to get more Deb Wills on the podcast.
That'd be awesome. Well, this one was easy being on the West Coast. I didn't have to worry about staying up late.
That's right. It's only 7 o'clock out there. Wow.
That's right. Prime time.
Thanks, guys. Always a great time.
Very good. And, nice, you know, that's gonna wrap it up for this live show of WWT. I want to remind all our listeners that this live show has been sponsored by AllEars.net, celebrating 15 years online. AllEars is your one-stop shop for everything Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus for all the restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling, special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 133,000 other fans who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And I want to thank our esteemed panel, of course, the much-beloved Deb Wills, the OK Mike Newell, and Mike Scopa, and the master statistician Fred Hazelton. Guys, thank you for all of your input and help this evening.
Thanks, Mighty Cakes.
And of course, well, big shout out to everyone in our chat room. You guys are awesome. We really appreciate you guys sharing your thoughts with us, and of course making us sound smarter so we can steal your answers. So thank you guys,
and apologize to Fred about all the Canada remarks. Get going.
Yeah, the Canada jokes were great, guys. So really, they made the night. And of course, thank you to all of our listeners who really, you know, I know many of you tune in every month, and there's some new people out there, and we really appreciate you guys checking us out on these live shows. They're a lot of fun for us to do. So thanks very much for checking us out, and we look forward to speaking to you on our next live show. For Lentesta, Mike Silva, Mike Newell, Fred Hazelton, and Deb Wills, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next live WWT show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.